إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the story of Musa عليه السلام, and from the to the time that we have reached, which is his infanthood and his discovery by Fir'aun and so on. One of the major lessons from this is the lesson of having faith in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even where you do not see results. Now, if you see the situation of Musa alayhi salam's mother, what was she doing? She was obeying Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, when you feel the baby is in danger, put it in a box and float it off in the river. The command by itself is neither logical, nor does it make any kind of sense in terms of human understanding. That is the last thing you would do. And it's not as if Allah appeared to her and told her this. Or even sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Wallahu alam, Allah said, Awhayna, we have sent wahi to her, whichever way it was. But the point is that is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question I ask myself is that today we also have commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which have come to us in the form of wahi again, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the difference? How is it that we don't obey them? How is it that when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before us in a matter, we say, oh, but you see, this one doesn't, I don't understand this, and I this and that. Now, same dilemma as far as the human dilemma is concerned, which Musa alayhi salam's mother also had. There was a command, she was supposed to do this thing. I'm sure she didn't understand, how floating the baby in a box on the river Nile will save the baby. How is it possible? Yet she did it. She followed the command as it was commanded without any change, and she did not try to either change the command or not do it or something. And as they say, the rest is history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then showed her that his promises are always fulfilled. So the first big lesson is that what do we do when it looks like the command does not make sense? Let me give you an example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you fear poverty, give sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yamhaqu Allahu riba wa yurbi sadaqat. Allah said, Allah will destroy riba, Allah will destroy all forms of interest-based financial dealings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase in sadaqat. Now, how does it make sense? You already have financial difficulties, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, give sadaqah, give charity. Where is the logic? Right? I have no money, and you want me to give from what I have already. How does it make sense? And that's why I always give the example of agriculture when I explain this, so I try to understand it. And I say, think about, in our country it's very easy to recall this. You don't even have to imagine because you see it every single year. If you go to any village at the tail end of summer, just before the monsoon, you probably will find an identical situation in practically every village in India, which is that you have fields are dry, ground is dry to the extent that it's broken because of lack of moisture. The farmers, they are in dire straits. Most of the men would have gone off to the towns to work on some construction site or something as labor because there's nothing to do on the farm. And the women would probably be looking after whatever, cattle or something they have. And if you went into the house of the farmer, and I'm talking about, a farmer in a Western context is a very different thing from a farmer in the Indian context. So when you're looking, I'm talking about the Indian farmer, you go into his house usually a mud hut with a grass thatch roof. You go inside the house, you will probably find, most likely, and I've seen this many times, you will find half a sack of grain in one corner. Now you ask them, you say, why are you people struggling so much? Right? Here is half a bag of grain, this will see you through at least 1 month, maybe more. You will get rain in maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so this grain is enough. You can simply sit and eat peacefully. You don't have to struggle, you don't have to go and work on some construction site and so on, just eat the grain. No farmer in his right senses will do that. He will not eat that, he will not touch that grain. And then what does he do? The moment the rains come, he ploughs the field, and this perfectly good grain, which he did not eat, he throws it into the ground. Right? Now, for someone who does not understand agriculture, all of these actions, they look like insanity, they look like crazy. You're starving for nothing, and then when, you know, you take this grain and you throw it into the ground, it makes no sense whatsoever. But anyone who understands, and this is not rocket science, everybody understands this much, you know that what the farmer is doing is right. What he was saving was his seed grain. And why does he save it? Even at cost to himself, I mean, he is struggling, he is undergoing hardship, but he will not touch that. Why? He will not touch that grain because he knows that that grain is his guarantee to eat for the next 12 months. Not talking about 2 weeks, we're talking about 12 months. Because what leaves your hand is the seed. What comes back into your hand is the harvest. And the harvest is always more than the seed. In absolute terms, even the worst harvest will be more than the seed. And that is what the farmer is doing. He is planting. And this, now apply this to this hadith of Rasulullah. He said, when you are in dire straits, when you are in financial difficulties, give sadaqah. Plant the seed, plant the seed, plant the seed. Because when that seed gives you the harvest, it will solve your problems. So here was Musa alayhi salam's mother, who had an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She followed the instruction to the T, and we saw the results. Number one. Number two is when we see the role of his sister. She followed, again she's following instructions, her mother's instructions. She followed the basket or the box in which a little brother had been floated off on the Nile. And then when the opportunity presents itself, these people are now in a dilemma, what do we do? This baby doesn't drink milk and so on. She then takes initiative and she says, look, I think I know somebody who will be suitable in this case, who can wet nurse, I know a wet nurse who can look after or feed this child. So again we come to the issue where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us a path. So it's not a question of simply sitting and waiting for something to fall into your lap, because it won't. You follow the path until you get to a point where you need to take a decision, and then you take the best decision that you know, which is what she did, right? And of course, as we saw, the rest of it follows. Third thing is, going ahead from there, the next incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran is the incident where Musa alayhi salam comes upon these two people fighting, and he intervenes, and one of them is from the Bani Israel, the other one is an Egyptian. And in their fight, it seems that the man from Bani Israel was on the right thing. So Musa alayhi salam intervenes, there is a scuffle, and Musa alayhi salam hits the Egyptian guy, and the Egyptian guy dies. Now Musa alayhi salam was brought up in the palace. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was a big man, and obviously in those days, you know, he went through military training and so on. So Musa alayhi salam was a warrior, he was very strong. He didn't even realize his own strength, because he didn't try to kill the man. It's not as if it was not premeditated murder. He just hit the man and the man died. So it means he wasn't even conscious of his real strength, how much power he had. Now, if you look at that, several things. One is a sense of justice. Musa alayhi salam was imbued with this. He was a person with a very strong sense of justice. And combined with that was a very strong sense of activism. Musa alayhi salam didn't just sit there. You know, many of us have a sense of justice. We know what is right, we know what is wrong. And we agonize over things which are going wrong. But you ask somebody and say, look, you make so much noise, you talk about this. How come you don't do anything? You know, go hit the street. You don't do that. That's not my... I will talk about it, preferably in somebody's drawing room. But other than that, to take actual action, to change the situation, we can't do that. But you know and I know that unless somebody takes action, nothing will change. You can talk about things till the cows come home, it makes no difference. Now in Musa alayhi salam's case, that was not... He had a very strong sense of justice and he would take action. As we saw in this particular case, that may not be the most appropriate or well thought out action, but it is action. Second thing is, same sense of justice, immediately Musa alayhi salam realized that what happened was wrong. So Musa alayhi salam makes tawbah right then and there, and he said, Ya Allah, please save me from myself, save me from this action, because I did something which I did not intend to do, and something bad happened. So the same sense of justice is with him, both with regard to the external as well as with regard to himself, internal. So it's not as if he is applying this so-called sense of justice to the external world, but when it comes to himself, he's making excuses for himself. No, he is very, very clear. He does not make excuses for himself. If I am wrong, I am wrong. No excuses, right? Now, we'll come to these other incidents later, but the same sense of justice you find is what was with him when he was with Khidr alayhi salam. And that is what actually, within quotes, got him into trouble with Khidr, because he told Khidr alayhi salam that I will not ask you any question, but he always asked him questions. And his questions always had to do with his sense of justice. How do you make a hole in this poor fellow's boat? Khidr said, don't ask me questions. He said, yeah, I agree, I won't ask you questions, but how did... Where is the but? I mean, you said you will not ask questions. Don't ask questions. But you just did something which is apparently unjust. Right? So this whole sense of justice, and we'll come to that later on as we go, but I'm saying that this is the sense of justice of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compared his two closest companions, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum, to the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of their awsaf, their qualities and their character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, you are like Ibrahim and Isa. He said, always very soft and very humble and always seeking mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everyone. You know, there is no intiqam, there is no setting things in order, there is no revenge is not a good word, but I'm saying in terms of, punish the evil doer. Ibrahim alayhi salam is always, is okay. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, if he is with me, then he is mine, so forgive him. And if he disobeys me, then you are Ghafur Rahim. So if he obeys me, then he is mine. And if he disobeys me, even then forgive him. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua. And same thing with Isa alayhi salam. Ya Rab, if they are with me, if they have followed me, forgive them. And if they have not followed me, then you are Azizul Hakim. Again, you have the power and you forgive. So this is the quality of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Umar is like Musa and Nuh alayhi salam. He will work hard, but he will demand results. And on justice, more than anything else. And if someone doesn't fall in line and continues to be unjust, then you will punish. So that's strength. The interesting thing is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having said this, he did not say one is superior over the other. So he's not saying that Abu Bakr is better than Umar, radiallahu anhuma. No. He is saying these are the qualities of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and these are the qualities of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And alhamdulillah, both are required and both are good qualities. So these are the things that come with the qualities of a person and come with leadership. So Musa alayhi salam has this altercation with this man, and the man dies. And then we know the whole story. I mean, I'm not going into the details of the story of what happened the following day when the same fellow, the same Bani Israel fellow, now is in another quarrel with another man, and Musa alayhi salam turns up there, and you know, this Bani Israel man says, "Oh, help me," and Musa alayhi salam says, "You are the cause of the trouble, you have a problem with everybody." And this man then turns on Musa alayhi salam, he reneges on him, and he says, "Oh, you killed the man yesterday." Right? Now, and then the rest of it, of course, we'll see that when we go tomorrow, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But one of the things that strikes me is that what is the time span between the birth of Musa alayhi salam and these incidents? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specify the exact time span, but going by conjecture and going by, you know, some deductive reasoning, we are probably looking at Musa alayhi salam when he is now maybe say 25 years old or maybe 30 years old, not older than that. It's about that. So if you look at the state of the Bani Israel are in a state of total subjugation, a state of slavery, all kinds of evil, and they are victims of all kinds of evil and cruelty from the Pharaoh. Obviously, the killing of children would have stopped once Musa alayhi salam was born, but you know, rest of it is going on. Now, if you look at their state from the birth of Musa alayhi salam, the birth of Musa alayhi salam is a date which we know. As far as the Bani Israel were concerned, they did not know that this child is any different from any other child. But even if you take that birth of Musa alayhi salam, you're looking at 20-25 years. If you think about somebody who was making dua, say, "Ya Allah, save me, save us from Firaun," 25 years have passed, nothing has happened. Now think about that. The reason I'm saying it, and tomorrow I will say this more, is that we tend to lose hope in dua. We make dua, we say, "Oh, I've been making dua, nothing happened." What do you mean nothing? How long did you make dua? What do you mean nothing happened? What happened in this case? And since we know the whole story of Musa alayhi salam, we know that the kingdom of Firaun and his rule is doomed. It is going to finish. Firaun will, all traces of him will be wiped out. His kingdom will be gone. He will be dead. All of this is pre-written. We know what that is going to happen. But if we just look at the time span and say from Musa alayhi salam's birth for the next 30 years, what happened? 30 years. I mean, just think about that. 30 years. We are in 2017. 30 years ago, what was happening in India? What was happening in the world? The world 30 years ago was a very different place. So in 30 years, we have seen all of these changes. Now you think about that. Here is somebody, imagine, you know, somebody sitting and making dua and saying, "Oh Allah, save us from this Firaun." 30 years pass, nothing happened. And some more time is going to pass. I mean, this we are only in the beginning of the story. So also another, so one lesson is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second lesson is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when, within quotes, it does not seem to make sense in our own reasoning. And that's the meaning of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on tawakkul. And the third one is patience, is sabr. And not losing hope and not losing faith and not stopping the making of dua. We have to keep making dua. We have to keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own time frame which he works with. And in the end, justice will prevail, truth will prevail, no matter how unlikely it seems to be now. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have the sabr to continue to make dua and to continue to work, because both are important. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us his ajaib and to show us his power and glory, to strengthen our hearts, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmur rahim.